How was your week? What were the news stories and the conversations? Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
Tanya Currie, a very good morning to you.
A very good morning to the morning AM team. I've always got to say that really slowly.
Yeah, especially on a Friday.
Howard, I'm so done, hey?
Yo. Yeah, because it's, look, there were some terrible stories coming out this week. In fact, I said to Zanati this morning when we were looking at what happened in the world whilst you were sleeping, looking at local news. Wow, just enough with the horror stories. Can we stop hurting ourselves, each other and our children? Do you think? Maybe.
I'm so sad about the children. Like, and that's why it's been today. I've got an echo on my line. Have you got it your side?
No, we're actually pretty good. We can hear you.
Okay, great. I don't mind hearing myself twice.
Oh, that's funny.
So, I mean, the children in this particular report, we put out a special report. One is, because of this Enoch story, I can't get through this story. I just can't get over it. And the story just, the Parktown Boys story just gets bigger and bigger and bigger as we delve deeper into the story. So we'll talk about that in a minute. And then, of course, that horrible story yesterday, right next door to me, where that child was killed by a bus trying to get away from the Deep Sweat protests or riots.
Links xenophobia back into that story. It's just terrible.
Back where we started, everybody. Look, it's normal for me to wrap up big media, so I'm going to just quickly run through those stories that probably should be on the charts. Firstly, can we talk about this coronavirus? Why is it named after a beer?
Yes, we were saying, Tanati and I were saying, it actually doesn't make it sound so bad.
No, it doesn't. Is it meant to ease the blow, do you think?
Well,
what is going on there? Is this?
So I'm worried, and I'll tell you why I'm worried. Yes, certainly we've seen, and Tanya, you and I have spoken about this before. We know how China can cover up information. They shut the internet down. There's been the persecution of Muslims that we can't get information about this. They shut down information. If China is releasing information about this, it means it is massive. They've locked down the city of, or Ground Zero where it all started. That's a city of 18 million people is on lockdown. So this is massive. This is a big story.
And apparently it comes from eating seafood that is like illegal wild animals. So these funny things that are endangered that we shouldn't be eating, it looks like it's come from that. Well, that's what the Business Insider is saying and the BBC. But I don't know. Also, the little conspiracy theory in my brain is going, is it a chemical weapon?
Yeah, I don't know. And now it's obviously person to person. It's very, very frightening.
Very scary indeed.
I do worry about the story.
And then, Mashaba and Maimani.
Yeah, what is actually going on there?
They're opening a political party.
But
I can't even get the words out of my mouth.
I know. Can we stop not opening new? Can we just stop doing this?
Stop doing this. And then that horrific policeman dragged woman across the floor and slapped her and stuff. That horrific story also broke this week. And then we had the internet.
Yes.
Oh my word. I don't know about you guys, but I have been struggling so much with this internet cable story that's broken in some obscure place and it's called Wax.
Yes. In fact, it broke in three different places. Well, at least the good news is that that vessel did manage to leave Cape Town last night because of all the storms and the wind. The vessel to go and repair one of the cables actually couldn't even leave Cape Town, but it has now left and hopefully we'll start getting, seeing some improvements shortly.
I hope so. I certainly hope so. And then, of course, there's Eskom, as usual, is in the spotlight, the state captured inquiry. Men's Conference 2020 has a different tone to it this year, doesn't it?
Well, I actually had a meeting with one of the larger insurance companies this week, obviously one that focuses on women. And we were just talking about what we could do as public and what we could do as corporates to try and move people towards solutions around gender-based violence, because we're not getting this right and government is not getting it right. And with all their fancy words, we still are killing women, and we're still hurting women, and somehow it's not, it's just, the message is not landing.
No, it isn't. And Howard, you know, like I had a fascinating discussion about this, and we really don't have the time to unpack this as much as I'd like, but this is a lot bigger than just gender-based violence. Like, it starts really from the ground up. You know, you've got people living in shacks, and mom and dad are having sex in front of the kids. And mom and dad, if dad gets violent, it's in front of the children. They're all in the same room, you know. So when we get to things like that, we've got to look at that dynamic before we can even start talking about gender-based violence, because it really is, it starts from the very ground up. There's a lot of work to be done, South Africa, a lot. So let's go into the stories that that we focused on this week, and that is certainly Parktown Boys. This is not the first time we've seen Parktown Boys in the spotlight, am I right?
Yeah, so they certainly had the water polo coach incident. I mean, he's now in jail. But it's deeply problematic, and I think the way in which the school has dealt with it, certainly from what I'm reading from messages about from parents saying this is just not okay. There hasn't been information. There's been cover-ups. Just, you know, in today's age, you can't do that anymore. You know, that might have been acceptable, or you could get away with it more in the past. With social media today and access to information, you don't think you can get away with cover-ups.
You must fess up. You have to fess up.
Yeah.
You've absolutely got to be accountable, or the truth barometer that is social media will to get it out of you, you know. 29,800 mentions in 7 days.
Wow.
That is an enormous amount for a high school. And the engagement rate, get this, of over 250,000 people actually responding and saying something on those mentions. So about a 10-to-1 engagement rate. Now, if you were a brand and it was good news, you'd be so happy with those engagement rates. But as a negative story, that is damning for a brand, really damning.
Carry on. It's interesting.
When we look at their net sentiment, Howard, it's appalling. They have 42% negative press over a week, 44% balanced reporting, that's sort of media getting in there, and only 13% coming in as positive. And that 13% is really related to the opening of the school and the start of the new year. It's got nothing to do with this particular story.
I was going to say, because there can be nothing positive around this.
Nothing to say. And the biggest hashtag coming out of that, one of the biggest hashtags, is I am a Parktown Boys victim. So like some damning press coming out of there for Parktown Boys. I interrupted you earlier, Michael.
No, I just can't get over how, you know, from the get-go, this was one blunder after another. Then when they started tweeting about it, they started mentioning it, and suddenly you started seeing something about, well, he couldn't afford a life jacket. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
We've got five kids that have been on various school outings. I've never been asked to provide a life jacket in my life. I don't know where I'd find one.
Exactly. I wouldn't even know where to buy one. But the story got stranger. I mean, then apparently not half the boys turned up on the trip, so the attendance lists were wrong. So when they did get the boys out the water, they didn't know who was there and who wasn't there, actually. And then we were heard that the teachers were playing games and sleeping while all this was going on. And then we heard that there were further boys that drowned at this particular, what's it called? Inyati, is it? At this particular place. Now, I can't work out, is that in the past?
Yeah, I couldn't figure that out either.
It's not now, is it?
No.
We'd be hearing a lot more about it. But I mean, both brands have done a poor job in this story. I mean, both of them haven't been communicating. It's obvious, because one story comes out of one and another story comes out of another. And then social media points out, no, but hang on, it didn't say on the
letter that
they needed to buy life jackets.
You know?
So the whole thing has been a shambles as far as a PR response is concerned. But the most importantly is the children, like, this is a young boy who had his whole life ahead of him. You know, like, you put them in a river. You know, when I went to Felt School, and I assume it's a bit like Felt School, okay? When I went to Felt School, Howard, like, We didn't have, you know how, when you're that age, you're naughty, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you're you a know bunch what of
you,
boys.
Yeah, you're idiots. And that's part of it. But that means that you need responsible people there to make sure that you're only idiots up to a point.
You don't put a group of boys, that age group, in a place, in a wildlife place, and not expect them to be gungering at some place, at some point, you know? There's going to be nonsense.
And I would,
you have to be vigilant at all times. No. It's 101, surely. Anyway, as you can hear, I'm really passionate about this story.
Rightfully so. What are the other big stories?
Well, the Dipsmith riots, I wanted to focus on this because this is going to be one of the biggest stories by the end of the week. I mean, Parktown Boy is certainly bigger than this story, but 10,000 mentions of Dipsmith riots, and it only really happened in the past 24 to 48 hours with a 27,000 engagement. So about a 3-to-1 people engaging, and it's rising by 5,800% hour on hour.
Wow. Wow.
So this is a massive story. The images coming out of Deep Slit from yesterday are horrific. That death of that girl, I just can't. I can just see her trying to get on that bus away from that. Apparently the bus driver slammed the door in her face and she went under the wheels. I mean, my God.
Absolutely terrible. Beyond.
57% negative press, almost zero positive press. I mean, anything positive was because it was reference to Deep Slit earlier this week that had something else to say. It's certainly not this story. So the negativity coming out of that, but the key words, you know, we do this assessment on how angry you are or how happy you are. In the old days, measuring companies used to do positive and negative only, right? But now we look at exactly how negative it is and exactly how positive it is. So, I mean, the negative words coming out of Deep Slit riots, it's so big, that cloud, and it's on my timeline, is so big, but in there it says it calls for Ramaphosa, it calls for condemnation, it says a no to crime, it calls for the police, it talks about wanted people, it talks about people being stoned, like it says people are tired, you know, and then when you start looking towards the right side of the chart where it starts getting a little less so angry, that's when they start looking for crime lookouts and the SAPS people, etc. So the whole thing is a negative story, but the words we're using are xenophobic words, you know, and I think within a minute this is going to be front page news across the world again, you know. If you look at the actual hashtags, they all refer back to the xenophobic past we have and how Ubuntu must rise. That is the big message coming out of that data. Like, really, guys, let's stop this now and let's get back the spirit of Ubuntu.
What's interesting to me is I just went onto News 24 now, and clearly this is one of the biggest stories that you're talking about on social media. Yes. And I'm not seeing it as a headline anywhere. So it's one of the interesting ones where social media, I think, is going to drive the story. So yes. I think we'll probably see later in the day that mainstream media is going to catch up with it.
You know, yesterday, I also think that mainstream media are fueling it. Yesterday, I heard a radio conversation with a resident within Deep Slit, who was part of this rise against illegal foreigners. He referred to the Zimbabweans as. And he said in there things like wild accusations, like 90% of the crime in Deep Slit comes from immigrants. And the talk show host did not stop him.
Yeah, you see, that's so dangerous.
You see, so then you've got all these listeners thinking, 90% of the crime comes from foreigners. Okay, they should go.
Yeah.
So now all of us, so you are just inflaming what is already a container of just explosive. So I'm glad it's not on News 24.
Interesting what you're saying. That's fascinating.
Isn't pushing the xenophobic agenda, but they certainly should be talking about the child that died.
Oh, that's for sure. All right, we don't have a lot of time. What you got? What else are the big stories?
That's about it. I mean, across the waters, Trump continues to be Trump.
Oh, the impeachment. He broke a record yesterday. I thought you'd be interested. He broke his own record, 125 tweets in a day. How do you have time to do anything else? I'm exhausted after three tweets. I've got to lie down.
Is that a fact?
Yep.
125 tweets.
Yeah, absolutely. Business Insider this morning reporting Donald Trump tweeted a record of 125 tweets on one day. His past record was 110.
Really, Howard? He's a cartoon character.
He really is.
He's the president of the free world. I won't believe it. I rub my eyes every time I look at him. Like, am I dreaming? Like, he's a cartoon.
But also, who went and counted the tweets?
Oh, I would, Sinati. Come on. Don't judge the judges.
That's all I'm worried about. Who counted the tweets?
So we've got Trump on one side, and then the Brexit bill went through, didn't it? Or something
yes,
like
well,
that.
The Queen.
I'm also,
you know, there are a couple of conversations what we want to say to them is, let us know when Brexit's done.
Yeah,
you just sort it out. Come back to us. Tell us it's done. We'll talk about it. But really, until then, I just can't. You know, Israel's going to their third election now in a year. Please, we can't talk about it anymore. Sort yourself out. Come back to us. You know, I feel that with Brexit. I feel the same with the impeachment trial. Just like, leave us alone. You know what? You've got your problems. We've got our problems.
I believe half of the people were sleeping, but like South Africa's parents.
Yes. Look, we can give them lessons in that. But, I can't. I can't. Like, I know that you've got to go through this, so then go through it. But really,
just send us the memo when it's done.
Yeah, exactly. Just summarize it in less than 125 tweets. Yeah, if you don't mind.
That's all I have for you guys.
Tanya Currie, wonderful speaking to you, even though the news is very, very depressing this week. But you know what, Tony, before we go, there is that happy story, Zanati. There's one good story.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not a good story. It's a funny story. So this man in KwaZulu-Natal, 61 or 63 years old, watching TV, and all of a sudden he gets a refuse bag placed over his head and his domestic, he doesn't know who, someone's trying to kill him. And he struggles and struggles. Eventually he manages to get the bag off his head, and it's his domestic helper. Two of her friends also trying to do that. And as he's fighting them off, the wife joins in and helps the domestic worker. So we've been speculating, you know, why she didn't check her references. If this is what the job that she was hiring the domestic worker for, you know what, surely she should have done a better reference check on that. You know, because good help is hard to find. What?
You are so bad.
Well, the news leaves us with very little choice. It's 8:29. It's about to go 8:30. I'm Howard Feldman. We'd love to hear from you on 345-19 or 061-895-1019. That's Tanya Currie. We speak to her from Acumen Media. We speak to her every week, and we get the news in numbers. Good morning.